Surprise, today we're going to talk about Jesus. I know, how sweet that name. You're probably like, man, Jesus again, we just had Christmas Eve, we talked about the baby being born, like. Back in Luke, you remember Luke? We just read it, yeah. Back in Luke, the angel told Mary, this Jesus, he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will have no end. And in Isaiah 9:6, it prophesies about Jesus. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We have been reading about Jesus' birth in Luke and Matthew throughout December. Today we're going to read from John, which provides an overview of Jesus' existence from the beginning, not just from the beginning of human form that we've been reading about, but the beginning. So we're going to start at Genesis 1, and we'll catch up to John. No? Oh, okay. I mean, that's a lot. Okay. Maybe that's homework till for next Sunday. Pastor Jamie always likes to give homework. Oh, boy. But from Jesus' existence from the beginning and his time on earth. So we're going to read it. We're going to read the whole book of John. It sounds all right now that we're not going to read all of this through John. That's how I'm setting it up. Here we go, John 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, JTB, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." This was John's testimony, who, when the Jewish leaders and priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and said, "I am not the Messiah." "Well, then who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elisha?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we were expecting?" "No." "Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." When the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I am not even worthy to be his slave and to untie the straps of his sandal." This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as a Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." So at the beginning, we hear all about the Word. So what is the Word? Well, before I answer that question or lead you to some answers, let's go back a little bit. Who's John's audience? When John wrote this book, he's writing to Christians and non-Christians. He's writing to Gentiles and Jews. He's writing to Greeks, Romans, the Jewish folks, and any other culture that was in the area. John's book was intended for a large audience. Some of the other gospels were focused just on the Gentiles or just on the Jews. John is writing to everybody. So it's important to understand the very intentional selection of the word word. For the Jewish folks, word is an agent of creation, a source of God's message, and God's laws and standards, in a nutshell. Paraphrasing from a whole bunch of stuff. For the Greeks, that comes from the word logos, which in philosophy is the principle of reason or universal intelligence that governs the world and reveals through the cosmos to humankind. Some scholars would say the divine. Also, the Hebrew word is another expression just simply for God. So by using the word word, John was deliberately opens the book he wrote with a jaw-dropping revelation. In some views, blasphemy, and in others, just absolutely inconceivable. Because how could the cosmos come into human form? How could the cosmos be something that we can actually grasp? So you see, John is just, he captivates his audience right away, be it with whatever emotion this whole audience would see. So if we look at 1:5 and 14 again. "In the beginning, the Word already existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." And 14 continues, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." So the Word is Jesus. So when John the Baptist is saying this one existed before me, you might be thinking logically in your head, wait, Elizabeth got pregnant before Mary got pregnant. How could that be? Because Jesus was at the very beginning. Jesus existed before being made human and walking on earth. And the cool part is when he became fully human, he also brought that divinity with him and was fully divine all at the same time. So the worlds are colliding, God and the world. I would say at that time, and probably now, these statements were pretty radical. And to some of us, it's still radical today. Overall, Jesus was radical though, right? He rocked the boat. Showed up in an unexpected ways, just as we recently talked about God, showing up in unexpected ways. Unexpected yet also expected. Because the prophecies prophesied about this. We knew what to expect, and still we didn't expect it. Isn't that true of a lot of things in life? This problem will never be solved. Oh, how's it going? Oh, the problem got solved? Oh, differently than what you anticipated. Mm-hmm. We as Christians expect our God and our Savior to be bigger than what we can imagine. Yet when they're bigger than we can imagine, we kind of struggle. We expect them to show up in ways we cannot fathom, yet we long to fathom. So sometimes we miss it. We expect God and Jesus to support us in scenarios we believe we shouldn't be supported in. Right? Sometimes we think we're unworthy, but yet there's Jesus. So there should be concepts that are radical to us, confusing at times, mystifying, and also comforting, makes sense, and is supported by centuries of prophecy. John 1:15-34 really focuses on John the Baptist's mission. JTB, as our senior pastor, refers to John. John testified about when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." John was also a character in the Christmas story. I already referenced Elizabeth. Remember Elizabeth and Zechariah? Zechariah too was in there. And then you had little JTB in the womb, jumping for joy when Mary came to visit Elizabeth. John recognized Jesus in the womb of Mary. Because we're not going to read about it today, but John was told to have the Holy Spirit prior to even being born. This story here is about 30 years after that. John is living out his purpose, his mission. If we go over to Luke 2:76-80, just to remind ourselves of his mission in a very snippet of Zechariah's prophecy, "And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." The one who goes before to prepare the way. John acknowledges towards the end of these scriptures that he did not know what Jesus looked like. Apparently, family reunions kind of stopped happening after Mary visited Elizabeth. It could have been, nobody knows, but it could have been. Mary just got busy. She had to go to Egypt as a refugee to try to get away from Herod. Then they had to get back to Nazareth at some point in time. Like, it just, there weren't cell phones. There wasn't even the U.S. Postal Service. So they got out of touch, apparently. But 29-34... it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So you think that he knows what Jesus looks like. But later on, he is the one who was talking about, "When I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, 'I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven, resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest on is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit leading John once again. Look, as the Holy Spirit descended and guided John to truth, to the Messiah, to our Savior, to Emmanuel, God with us. We all need the Holy Spirit to guide us to truth, to assist our faith journey. We all need the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus Christ within our lives. John the Baptist is not special in that way, because we all get the Holy Spirit. We all get to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Look, church, neither Pastor Jamie, myself, any of the other ministerial team, or anybody you encounter here in the church or outside can make you see or believe who Jesus is, who our Savior is, to see and recognize Jesus as fully human and fully divine, to recognize Jesus as Emmanuel, which means God with us, or any other part of Jesus' being. Just like John the Baptist could not convince the Pharisees, the priests, and the temple assistants, we can only bring you the word as inspired by God. We can only support you and encourage you in your walk. The Holy Spirit can speak to you and guide you just as the Holy Spirit guided John the Baptist to recognize and proclaim who Jesus was and is. Church, I invite you, God invites you, to open your hearts and minds to all God has for you. A guide and comfort in the Holy Spirit, confidant, a Savior, a Messiah in Jesus Christ, a God who cares for you, will never leave you, will never forsake you. Church, your faith and your belief is up to you. Your relationship with God is up to you. Your journey with Christ is up to you. Your awareness of the Holy Spirit is also up to you. Because God has provided all of this around you. But I can't make you have a relationship with God any more than I can have you have a relationship with somebody else. You have to pick up the phone. You can't have a deep relationship. Just think about the people right next to you or a relationship in your life. You don't get to know that person next to you by talking to me about them, right? Like if you come to me and say, Pastor Tosh, I'd really like to get to know Deb. Can you tell me about her? I'm not going to tell you about Deb. I'm going to say, let me take you to Deb. Let me introduce you. Have you met Deb? No? You've just heard about her? Let me take you to Deb. You do know Deb? What's keeping you from going and talking to Deb? Well, I just thought that maybe you could be the intermediary in this relationship. It's not going to work. You're going to know Deb from my perspective of knowing Deb. So that's the same concept with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a relationship with God through me. Just like these folks here, they couldn't have a relationship with Jesus through John the Baptist. In fact, if you read further in John 1, you're going to find that two of John's disciples, as soon as they knew who Jesus were like, see ya. they were faithful to JTB until the true Messiah came. And then they knew they had to leave. And if I'm going to have a relationship, I can't do it through somebody else. That's why it's up to you. I'm here for you. Pastor Jamie's here for you. We're all here for each other, right? As a body of believers. To support each other, to encourage each other, to help each other through those hard conversations of those concepts that are unfathomable, hard to understand sometimes, easy to understand at other times. We're here for each other. But church, you're the one that has to reach out. You're the one that has to ensure that you have that alone time, that you build that relationship, that you build that faith, and you build that trust with Jesus. Nobody can do that for you. Some people will try sometimes, including probably myself, if I go into helper mode. But it won't be sustaining. It won't work. We'll reread 8 through 14 in conclusion. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us and was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen this glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, begotten and given for you. I added that last part. That's from John 3:16. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son down from heaven to exist with us and among us. That you send messengers along the way to help us out when we have trouble seeing, when we have trouble believing. But God, at the end of the day, it's up to each one of us, God. And I actually thank you for that, even though sometimes it might be difficult. Because when you said that you would come for each and every one of us, and every last one of us is a sheep in your flock that you care for, you intended to have a relationship with each one of us, uniquely, awesomely, wonderfully made individuals in your image, God. And so that is a true blessing. That you didn't set it up that we had to go through somebody else and maybe have expectations not be met, but that we can all come individually to you. So help us, God, I pray that we turn to you in every moment, that we look for you in all the things, and that we understand the tools you've surrounded us with to help us with this walk. The messengers, the church family and support, the Holy Spirit to guide us, Jesus Christ to be our light, God, and you to be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.